This is the Pew Talk America Radio Network.
We found our bicycle, and it's our thrill.
Oh, why the bicycle? I don't understand why she can't get in the fucking car.
I'm going to tell you the story.
All right, tell me the story.
Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yeah, very funny people.
Met for the first time on the set of the Three Amigos movie.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin had never met Martin Short ever, didn't know who he was, just like, we're going to do this movie. They're on set walking somewhere, and all of a sudden, as Steve Martin is walking with his group, from behind, all he hears is Martin Short, this voice says, I wish I'd have brought my bicycle with me on this. It's a long journey, or whatever it was. And Steve Martin turned around and met Martin Short, who was doing a Katharine Hepburn impersonation about the long walk that they were doing to get to the set.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
I like that. No, I like that a lot.
And that's why, for some reason, I think she rides a bike in a movie.
That probably true.
Or no, I take it back. She rode in real life. She rode a bike around wherever she lives.
She was a famous cyclist.
Okay. She was...
It
was
pants.
A cyclist.
She wore her pants.
She always wore pants.
With her pants. I know. In her pants.
Oh, you know who else wears pants? Kevin Hart.
Oh, very
turns
nice.
Out.
By the way, this it is the entertainment segment.
But yeah.
That's right.
But boom, Kat Carlson and Doug going to put this together.
Moments ago.
Douglas Marie.
Yes.
Moments ago, and by moments I mean hours by now.
Of course.
It was confirmed. The rumors were spreading, and now it has been confirmed. We have a host for the 2019 Academy Awards ceremony.
Yeah.
And it's Kevin Hart.
Oh, interesting.
I was somewhat surprised by that.
Yeah. Yep. There were reports that he was under consideration, and he confirmed through Instagram today that he is, in fact, hosting the Oscars.
Okay.
The show is set to air on ABC on February 24th. Jimmy Kimmel hosted for the past 2 years, sure. But previously said he will not be returning for a third year.
Because he
said,
didn't
I shan't.
Want to.
I shan't.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Appreciate the champ.
Hart had previously expressed his desire to MC the major TV event, revealing as much in his Variety cover story last year. He said, it would be something I would definitely do just to say I did it in my career.
That's right.
Sure.
A little feather in his cap. Yeah. It would be great to say I had that moment. He's taking on the gig despite a packed schedule. Turns out he's very busy. Gosh. Very, very busy.
Yes.
Well, he's little. I mean, he has to work twice as hard as everybody else.
He has most
running
recently...
running under tables to beat him.
He starred in a film, Night School, alongside Tiffany Haddish, who's very, very funny. Mm-hmm. We like her a lot. It opened number one at the box office when it debuted and marked the biggest comedy opening weekend of 2018. In addition to numerous television and film projects he and his company have going on, they currently have in development a first look film deal with Universal Studios. Other projects include The Next Level and Heart of the City on Comedy Central. Shows like Cold as Balls.
No.
And What the Fit.
Yeah.
On the LOL network. I didn't know that was a thing.
Well.
I didn't know that one.
I've never heard of this network.
No,
me neither, but apparently it exists because it says so right here.
It's on the interwebs.
I bet they'll be promoting it.
It can't
busy.
Be a lie.
Yeah. And, you know, longtime listeners will know that Al Perkins will have a lot to say about this.
Yes,
oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the night to look forward to.
Oh.
Yep. The Academy Awards. I have yet to attend the gala because I'm a little bit afraid.
Get ready.
No, you shouldn't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
I'm kind of scared. Listen, I've listened to this show for 5 years.
Don't be afraid.
I'm kind of afraid.
It's okay.
Should I attend that I will be a terrible anecdote and never
terrible anecdote.
Like, remember the year Kat showed up?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, we say that about Buddy. Yeah. Right? But
the benchmark is when Al got wasted and passed out thrown up on a pillow
at
on the
8:30.
Floor.
And the show was only half hour.
What do you mean she didn't win? What do you mean?
How come?
I think it's a little bit lower key.
I don't want to be that
now.
Story. I don't want to be that story.
You won't be. We'll protect you.
No, yeah.
As long as we don't talk bad about your... As long as we don't make fun of your boyfriend, you storm out mad.
Yeah.
Yep. Listen, I know who that was, too.
Yeah.
And I probably won't be that person either. But I have remarked recently that it's been a very long time since I got messy drunk, and that feels like an occasion to do that.
Oh, it is. We're all.
I may excuse myself from that one again too, so as to not embarrass
myself. We do drink
myself.
We drink a lot of champagne. That
it was. Know? Yes, we do.
Because I go very fast from fun drunk to messy drunk. I try really hard not to, but
yeah,
never seen that.
I've never been.
It's been pretty low key the last few years.
It's a cliff dive.
I don't know
not
how
cute.
I got that way.
Hoot hoo! Hoot hoo!
Oh, you know what the opposite of not cute is?
Oh, me drunk.
Meghan Markle and Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's true.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, people don't know this about me, but every time something about the royal family shows up in a news feed anywhere in my life, I have to click on it. I compulsively have to, like, see the rumors. I clicked on one story earlier today, in fact, that said something about, oh, never before seen photos of the, you know, royal grandchildren, you know, George and Charlotte and whatever.
Sure.
Louis is the other one.
Louis, right?
And what it is, honest to God, people write articles about this. So they had zoomed in into another photo where they were talking about something else entirely in Buckingham Palace. And on like a coffee table, there's like a family portrait. Because, I mean, of course the queen has. Yeah. So they like zoom into this grainy photo and they're imagining the people that are in it. I click on that shit. I'm that person.
Sure.
You're welcome. So now I know, and you're going to know that Meghan Markle.
Thank you.
Yeah. The Duchess of Sussex, if you will.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Michelle Obama,
get
former First Lady.
Say that three times.
Duchess of Sussex.
Yeah. Do it
Duchess of Sussex.
I love this. This is fun.
Meghan Markle.
They met for the first time.
It's the Duchess of Sussex.
Privately on Monday evening. After the royal mom-to-be, because you know she's pregnant.
Of course.
Yeah. With Harry's little
totally
little ginger baby.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, there you have it. Yeah.
He's a redhead.
I realize that.
I'm not kidding. I read a lot of this shit.
Yeah. I've seen him before.
Oh, well, Michelle Obama, we know, wrote a book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is on my Christmas wish list that hopefully my Secret Santa will buy for me.
Very nice.
Hint, hint, Secret Santa, do that.
Very nice.
So she's on a book tour, and at her stop in London, she decided, oh, well, Meghan seems like a nice gal. She seems really cool.
Just ring her up.
Right.
Says, hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Sources close to the subject say they spoke at length about the importance of supporting and empowering women across all cultures and communities, because of course they did.
Yeah.
Can't just be like, hey, girl, how's the family?
Right, right.
No.
We've got to change the world.
Lit.
Right. Let's just change the world. They also talked about shared experiences of pregnancy and raising children, plus shared causes, including girls' education.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, because you can't just be like, oh, yeah, morning sickness was awesome. You know, was awful. Probably not awesome. I've never had it, but probably awful.
Right.
Oh, by the
way, still time,
we should educate women.
Right.
Like, you just...
Just because.
Yeah. Now, of course, we know that Mrs. Obama has a friendly history with the British royal family. Prince William and Kate Middleton hosted President Obama and his wife for a private dinner in 2016.
Okay.
Memorably, we remember that Prince George stayed up late to greet Obama. We remember that picture in his little robe.
That's right. It was really cute.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Very special evenings. Yep. So we're very excited that Michelle and Meghan are besties now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is good. I like it.
I like it too. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining them.
Yeah, right.
Like meeting,
sure.
Being really cool and
doing
tall,
like a fist bump.
Yeah, with like their sleeveless dresses on.
When they go low, we go high.
Right.
The biggest scandal.
With all their guns. And,
yeah, right.
So you like Michelle Obama? Did you see her? She made news this week for swearing on the in.
I saw something about that. I didn't click on that one because I was busy clicking
really
on shit like this.
Cool. I think it's the effect of like when you're not. You know, your husband's not the president anymore, and you're
sure,
out.
Sure.
So she was being interviewed in some panel thing about the book. She was promoting the book, and she kind of did a slam on the Lean In book by the woman from Facebook, whose name I forgot. Whatever her name is.
Sheryl Sandberg.
And she was saying it's kind of a lie to say that you can have it all and do this and be that and all. She didn't really like the book, but she didn't say that part. But she said, it's selling a false thing to women that they
like
can do
narrative.
Everything.
A false
narrative that women can do everything. And then she goes, because I know that shit doesn't work.
Oh, I like that.
And everybody in the audience like nearly died laughing because they loved it so much. It didn't really cause, I mean, you know, the media tried to make a thing about it. But like, no, it was this thing where everybody should be like all upset about it, but nobody really was. Everybody got how cool it was and how real and authentic.
Right.
She was just being real.
Yeah. Well, and she can be, because the fuck are they going to do?
Exactly.
Like, what are we going to do to Michelle Obama?
She didn't do that whole,
fuck
like,
it.
You know, like, oh, my God, wait, whoops, I did. She just was, like, rolling
just
with
roll
it.
Just rolled right through it, as she should.
And I wonder, too, if some of that was, like, because she also just doesn't like that Sandberg woman and just thought, I'm just going to be authentic and real, and that's what I'm going to do.
I love it.
I know. Could it was so cool.
I wish she had been like, fuck that.
Yeah. We out.
We out.
We out.
Although the mic dropping, you know who ruined that for us?
Obama.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
In the worst dad joke kind of way. The worst dad joke kind of a way.
No more.
With the prop mic, and he dropped. No.
That's true.
Barry. No.
That's true. Come on.
So
Barry.
If you don't mind going backwards in time to Kevin Hart, I was thinking about.
Woo!
Oh, wow. Now we're going to
Wow.
Show.
I like it.
Wow.
Well done.
So, you know, there's been a, in the past several years, there's been the issues about, there was the year where there was zero nominations for black people in the Academy Awards.
Oscar So White was
Oscar
the hashtag.
So White. Thank you. Thank you. And then the next year, it was like, here come black nominees and Moonlight, and there was a lot
And then they tried to steal Moonlight.
So, with a black host and two big movies, I think, that will get Oscar contention, which are Black Panther, because it was so popular, and then Black Klansman, which is Spike Lee, which didn't do as well as a box office, but is getting fantastic reviews. And I just wonder, you know, because they have to do that opening monologue, and, you know, when Billy Crystal is really created now, the opening monologue is what the hosts... Like, they're writing that right now. Like, that's how much work goes into that.
Well, like, the opening, the Tony's opening, yeah, it's like, exactly. You've got to one-up everything it's ever been done.
Exactly. Right. So I'm wondering, you know, if Kevin Hart will be focused on that especially.
Maybe.
It'll be interesting.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't always have to be super political,
I'm curious about it because, you know, like, Jimmy Kimmel, like, saying, I'm sorry.
I don't think he can get through without swearing.
Yeah, that's going to be... Because, you know, like Kimmel saying he's not going to do it, and when you were reading the story, I think it is like a I need to check the box.
Sure.
But nobody really talks about loving hosting that show. It's too long. It's too – you're dealing with like a lot of middle
–
it's tedious, and you're doing the middle ground that people – celebrities are famous for not liking being made fun of.
Right.
Remember David Letterman flopping with Oprah?
Oprah.
Uma. And like he never lived that down. Yeah.
Sure.
So I think – it's great exposure, but
well, and they're not feeding them enough liquor at the Oscars. Like, you can get away with it better at the Golden Globes.
You can get drunk. Yeah, yeah.
It's just
and nobody cares
occasion.
About the Golden Globes, and everyone's free, very open about not caring about it.
Yeah, so I feel like it's a very stuffy room. Like, I think it would be a really hard room to play.
It is
for
That's
anybody.
Exactly right, and I think it's just hard to find any kind of balance. But so people want to do it, and then we out.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Put the feather
That's
in the
right,
cap
girl.
And move
yeah.
right along.
I think this is the clip you were talking about from Michelle. I think.
Thank you.
You may wander again, but sometimes that stuff doesn't work.
That's it.
So oftentimes it's not equal. And you feel a bit resentful about it. And so then it's time to go to marriage counseling.
No, yeah.
She said it. She did say it at the beginning. She said
after
that shit
she said
work.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to find the other one. Carry on,
Good
my
on
wayward
her.
Son.
Good on her. Moving right along. So, first of all, I want to talk to the people at the Kennedy Center. This is a new topic.
Oh,
yeah. I want to talk to the people
would
at the Kennedy
love
Center.
This topic.
I'm ready to go.
Because with the power of the internet and just the way that it works, why are we waiting 3 weeks to air this special now?
Sure. Interesting,
Here's
right?
What I, you know what I mean?
No, like, because it's always that.
Well, I know, but now I've got, like, my YouTube feed is full of sneak peeks and clips and this and that. Like, I'm going to see damn near half the show before it even airs.
Right.
But watching it in its totality.
But why can't,
half drunk, why can't that be?
Why can't I do it live? Why can't I do it live?
She's just wondering, why is there a lag of 3 weeks?
Why is there the big gap?
They have to edit it. And they have to make that man that looks like Reba McEntire song.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that on behalf of
Al. Do you think they have like 9 hours of show and then they have to... Well, it wouldn't be that long, though, because it's live, right?
I don't think they cut it down.
That is interesting, because they're not really... What editing is there really to do?
So I have like 5 things on the Kennedy Center Awards right now. I have one, why do we have to wait 3 weeks to watch it?
Yes.
Other than tradition. At this point, we could show it live. We could throw it on the internet. We could make it available on fucking Netflix. I don't know. Like, they could make some kind of a deal that I can watch it sooner, because now I'm really impatient because I know it's out there.
God.
And I'm getting snippets of it.
You need to load some wood.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Put a pin in that. We're not going to do that now.
Stick a pin in that.
So, two.
Watch this space.
Is this the first time a drag queen has been honored?
Oh, that's a good
question.
The
man that plays Reba McEntire.
According to Al, right. Yes. But, God, I'm fighting tooth and nail on that one.
I love that. And the Hamilton nomination. I'm on the fence about this. I don't know.
The Hamilton nomination for...
So, Hamilton the musical. Hamilton the musical has been honored as a standalone. Not Lin-Manuel Miranda, not anybody else involved in it. But Hamilton the musical is receiving... Kennedy Center accolades.
Oh, way too soon.
Right. And that's where I'm at. I'm like, one, way too soon. Two, why not just wait until he's 80 fucking seven years old?
No, I don't like this at all.
Right. I'm like,
And, I'm curious to know what Al thinks about this.
Is this pandering? Is this opening a really dangerous door where we just become like Tony's two?
Yes, exactly.
Now, and the other thing to add to that is Lin-Manuel just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, too.
I know.
I think
He's on fucking fire.
I think that's premature.
I do,
well,
too.
Well, sure, because he hasn't done a lot of Hollywood.
Well, in addition to that, but I'm like, okay.
Michael Douglas just got his last year.
Right. Michael Douglas has been doing
that.
All the other, like, so many other people. But I'm like, wow, really? Lin-Manuel?
And don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of LM Squared.
I agree. I get it. I get it, too.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm thinking, come on.
I feel like he's just like blowing his wad. Like, what's going to happen?
Isn't that show still like touring somewhere?
It's going to tour for the next 10 years.
Eric McCormack.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Eric McCormack, who did 20 years, they did 10 years of Will and Grace and everything else he's done. He just got his before Mike Douglas.
Right. You saw the same thing I saw.
A month before Mike Douglas.
And he was marveling at that.
Really? And Lin-Manuel. Again, love him.
Right.
He's adorable.
Amazing, brilliant.
Also,
yeah,
too,
wonderful. But I just can't think wait it's for early. Mary.
And here's the other thing is, so that if they're going to honor that as a standalone, then what other great things is he going to do? And then when he is 80, are they going to have to, they're going to have to honor him again? It's like, can't you just wait and do it all at the end?
That'll be Lifetime Achievement.
Gosh, I hope that we do.
I think
that
Kennedy
honor
Senator Honors is a Lifetime Achievement Award, though.
Really, it really is.
Well,
it usually honors people
they're
based
all
on their, well, it's their contribution to
the arts.
The arts in America, right.
In their lifetime, though.
Right.
Not when they're 25.
Right. Not when they're at the peak of their career, towards the sunset kind of a thing.
Right.
Hashtag something.
So I'm a little bit like cringing.
Yeah, me too.
About the Hamilton thing. Because they're really just going to get up there and sing two songs that we don't want to hear, because they're never going to let them sing the songs
the big
that we do
want
to
hear.
I have a theory.
Because the fucker is still on Broadway and it's still touring. Like, of course they're not going to
give
away.
Oh, and they're doing however many weeks of shows in Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico.
To raise
Lynn's
money. And,
go,
yeah, Lynn's, yeah, we're stepping
so
back
I
into the
So I want to ask you this, Pat Carlson.
Ask me all the things.
Because
I watch the news occasionally.
I'm convinced that everything is about, you know, corporate money and like publicity and... You know, has the Kennedy Center Honors been a really niche Channel 8 kind of, you know, or PBS kind
CBS,
of?
But
I know,
CBS
but so what I'm saying, the feeling about it is like, you know, even and Al and I agree with this, always says it's the person you've never heard of, the ballerina from wherever, is always the most compelling story when they do it. Is this their thing of trying to get more viewers and be more contemporary and, you know, not be stodgy old people watching the Kennedy Center Honors?
Pandering.
Thank you. And that's what I think is bad. They should just keep their level of integrity of maybe you don't know who everybody is and maybe they're all old and you wait and this is like trying to make it mainstream.
I'm quite certain that there's somebody else from the theater world that they haven't honored that they could have honored.
Thank you. Exactly.
Instead of Hamilton, the juggernaut that is enjoying more success than any musical ever has.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why would you...
Why now?
Yeah. At all.
Yeah, I don't like
I think
at
that's
all.
A misstep on the Kennedy
it
Center.
It is a
part.
Misstep.
Yeah. I think that's a...
Kennedy,
that's a
nope.
Regardless, though, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And
oh, clearly, yeah.
I mean, why aren't they honoring Katharine Hepburn?
Well,
she can't be there.
She's on the pond.
Yeah.
But hosted by Gloria Estefan. Gloria Estefan.
She's hosting this year.
Yep, she was honored last year, and she's hosting this
year. Oh wow!
The kind of person,
which
you
is
honor.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. Well, they honored her last year, so now she's going to host this year. Reba McEntire, Cher, Hamilton, and
oh my god,
probably
Cher.
Some other people that I've never heard of.
That will be great.
Philip Glass and Wayne Shorter.
Philip
fantastic.
Glass. Why do I know that name?
Well, it's George's brother.
That's funny.
thanks for being here.
That's fantastic.
Why do I know that name?
George Glass.
Is he a composer?
No. George Glass is Jan's imaginary boyfriend on the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch.
There's that.
Well,
Philip Glass is the composer.
I didn't watch a lot. Is he a composer?
He is a composer, yes.
A very good one.
Apparently, because
gotcha.
He's being,
honored,
he's
by
being honored at the Kennedy Center.
Threw a straw at you. I'm sorry, Doug.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a thing. So now, dear Evan... I have to say that maybe
Al isn't here for that.
Oh, too bad Al isn't here for that because he was sitting right next to me.
He'll be crying right now.
We'll beat this horse next week too.
We'll beat it for the next 3 fucking weeks.
He's not going to let that go away.
No, please no. I think that's the ugliest I've ever cried in public. First of all, my God, they just hit you and hit you and hit you all the way up until the end of that show, and then they bring on the Jacob Dreiweiler pointed out. Then they bring on the bright blue lights, so that you can look around and go, "Oh, look at all these fuckers crying!"
Oh,
like I can just imagine standing on that stage, looking at all the people that are just sobbing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I I often cry at theater. That's probably the only time in life that I really do cry, which is good. I feel like just compartmentalize that stuff. It's healthy.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Feelings are for theaters.
Theater.
Right.
Theater.
The rest of time, theater cold time. And dead inside. Theater.
Cold and dead inside.
So, you know, clearly through the first act, you know, just sniffles and tears. And the dude next to me, this guy next to me was like matching me sob for sob the entire first act. And I'm like, oh, this poor guy. You know, like he's just, he's in it with me. All right, great.
It's like people are having a collective emotional experience.
And that's,
right?
That's one of the things that I really love about theater is that
I do too.
Like collective experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's very...
It's very safe and it's very okay to
react and it's, like. And it's kind of expected. Yeah. And but it's that shared experience. It's that shared live, emotional, musical... storytelling experience that I really love about theater.
Well, you were at Color Purple, and I was there. We were at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I get home, I look on Facebook, and I was like, "Was it Color Purple today?" I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that same feeling when that show ended. So the people around us, we were like, "We just had this experience together."
Yep.
So, Dear Evan Hansen, we get to intermission, and I, honest to God, kept forgetting to breathe. During the first act. You know what I mean? I kept realizing, oh, I'm holding my breath. Maybe breathe. Mm-hmm. Maybe breathe. Because there's a lot of anxiety built into the storyline.
Sure.
And I just got to intermission and couldn't speak. Like, just was like, choked. You know what I mean? With all of that anxiety that they just feed to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I said to Al and Jose, I was like, wait, is that created by me? Or is that created by them? Or a little bit of both? I'm not really sure where all this is coming from. Because it hits all of your issues. You got mommy issues. Oh, it's in there.
Oh, yeah.
You got daddy issues. It's in there. You got loneliness. It's in there. You got, you know what I mean? Like,
and forgive me for not knowing this.
Is in there.
Does he have like autism or what is his story?
He's just an awkward kid.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry.
And he's like,
I didn't mean to insult anybody. I honestly don't know much about the story.
People thought that.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
so he's socially awkward.
He's 17 and kind of a nerd. Right.
Okay.
We were all there.
I'm crying already. I think I'm going to cry now.
No, but I mean, he's not seen. He's kind of invisible.
So he's in. Oh, okay. So hence the loneliness. Okay. I get it now. Thank you.
And then it's the story of a little helpful lie that gets out of control.
Oh, I remember this now.
It gets just out of control and away from him, and then he finally has to fess up in the second act, and you are just
looks like Harrison saw it too.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine doing that show 8 times a week either. You know what? We walked out of there, and I was like, I really want to go see the 6:30 show. Like, really want to go see, because I see the matinee. I'm like, I really want to go see the 6:30 show, but I'm quite certain I will die. Like, literally die of a broken heart from this.
Right. Oh, wow.
So very affected by this.
Can I still see it or not?
No. Sunday was the last day.
Shit.
So it's gone. Yeah, you missed the boat on that. But I'm certain... I'm almost 100% sure it'll be back next season for an extended run. Yeah, it's going to come back. They're going to get that back immediately.
Wow.
But yeah, so then like the second act comes and they just hit you and they hit you and they hit you and they hit you. And the poor guy next to me like just reached a point and he couldn't anymore. He got up and stumbled, like tripped over people to get the fuck out of the theater. Like he just couldn't anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is just so
much. That's some good theater.
It's some really good theater. Yeah.
I wonder
we stood up and applause and the lights came on and we went to walk and Alan Jose looked at me and I'm like, I'm not okay, just walk. No, I'm literally not okay.
Right.
Just keep going.
So do you think that's because like everybody can relate to that from being a teenager? Like it hits everyone's been 17.
You know, and the cool thing about this musical is that it hits different people differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some people see themselves in the main character. Some people see themselves in other characters. Right. Some people see themselves in this character or that character. A lot of parents are really affected because there's a big parental loss storyline in it.
Wow.
And like that helplessness that you feel. Like I've got a 13-year-old who's addicted to his phone. I'm like, I'm like a minute away from this being my kid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So then you get it from both angles.
So you're getting both adult and your own childhood.
Yeah, because I totally identify with the teenager from my teenage experience. And then to like get the parental part of it and the helplessness that they convey in the parents' role in this.
Wow.
Just murderous.
And so
murderous.
And so like timely.
Very timely, very topical, very much about social media and how that gets out of control and how that's so pervasive and how it just hits and hits and hits and hits at kids. Yeah, if you ever get a chance, like if you have to travel for it or whatever you have to do to go see that, go see Dear Evan Hansen and bring all of your tissues. Yeah. Did you guys saw it, yeah?
Yeah, it was undeniably, yeah.
Oh, wow.
When the mom starts singing at the end.
So big, so small. Oh, I can't.
I honestly...
I will cry right now.
So I was telling Kat before the show started, former colleagues of mine from Sage, where I did counseling, mm-hmm. were, and the couple are both counselors, but they Facebooked. They were at the same exact show mm-hmm. you were at.
Sure.
And they were Facebooking it, and they were both going nuts. And they're not very, like, demonstrative on Facebook, mm-hmm. so I knew. I was like, what the fuck?
Right.
And they were like, from just a social work and counseling perspective, they were like, we are blown away right now.
Yeah.
So that made me think of you as well.
Oh, but, absolutely.
Okay, I need to brace myself for this show.
Yeah. Take some Xanax or something, like, self-medicate ahead of time.
But that sounds so good, though.
Yeah, and there were some people really that were behind us that were, because we went to a matinee, and they were sitting behind us they were a little bit older, and they were a little bit, like, they could get away with it, and so then they were chatting, and...
Oh, no.
Yes, and,
did someone want to just take their head off?
Oh, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm to the point where
someone named Aaron.
Yeah, someone named Aaron. Yeah, and I hear, and I'm like, oh, shit, should I
Those are those old people that have the season tickets, and they don't even know what they're watching.
And they're not sure why they're there.
Or why they're there, exactly.
So they can say that they were, but, oh, God, And it was, and then they're like, now what just happened?
And then you get the wife with a deaf. She's saying that the. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, we were surrounded by people that were dialed in and just effective. Like, there was a couple, like an older couple, probably about my parents' age in front of us, and she just couldn't. And you could see him just as sweet as could be, like trying to console her while he was crying. Like, you could see him doing this while he's like.
Yeah.
Trying to put his arm around her. Like, just that second act is so hard.
Yeah. When I.
So hard.
Oh, very.
I don't think this was more like. I don't know if it's depressing, but so my favorite musical of all time is Cabaret, and Al and I went and saw that together at a matinee at Gamage.
Like you did.
And it wasn't quite the same thing, but I think some people are like, oh, Cabaret, like that show, you know, they don't know, it's like the Holocaust, you know,
right,
and Hitler, but and it was a little bit of that same kind of, because the finish of the Cabaret is very dark, and then they kind of just do that to you, and then they're just like, we just fucked you up. Then the lights come on. Yeah. And people were not quite what you're saying, but like just kind of looking around like, how like are we supposed to process this? Yeah. Like, we thought we were watching a song and dance show. And do we clap for the fact that they ended at Auschwitz? Like, right. Is that what we're clapping for?
And I love that kind of ending. Like, I love. Yeah.
You applaud because they did the furnace works.
Yeah, right. No, that's
is that wrong?
Bad. It's bad.
But this sounded more like that was just dark. This doesn't sound as dark.
No. There's a little bit of a release in the resolution.
You know, maybe
like
we need that. Maybe that's what theater like helps us in tough times.
No, it's
you know,
wonderful.
Like maybe we need.
No, I think it's fantastic and brilliant. And
have empathy again.
Oh, yeah, very
which
much.
We are having a crisis of in this country.
Yeah. Yeah. I texted another theater loving friend of mine that afternoon after I saw it, and I was like, you know, I have like a very strict rule against bootleg videos that I might break for Dear Evan Hansen. That I might break and go get that so that I can watch it again in the privacy of my own home.
Okay.
And have your nervous
so that
break.
Nobody else
and
can
have your
see
nervous
the nervous
breakdown
right.
there.
Sure.
Yeah. Because it's dramatic.
So I just had a thought. I could travel to see it.
You certainly could, yes.
And I think I might.
It is touring right
Mr.
now.
Mr. Al Perkins to do that with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he had seen it in New York in the original cast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember him raving about it. So
It lives up to all of the hype.
I will look at that.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
I will go chase that show
down.
And
the music just is.
Oh, it's beautiful music. Yeah, it's Pasek and Paul.
Yeah.
They also wrote La La Land and The Greatest Showman. Right? Wasn't it The Greatest Showman?
Okay.
I think so.
Interesting. I like it.
Yeah, Ben Pasek. And there's... The song You Will Be Found reminds me of another song and I can never put my finger on it. I'm like, wait, it's another one of their songs too. And I'll have to look it up again. But yeah, so there it is.
Wow.
Beautiful and wonderful. That's entertainment. I don't have two things. I did
that
entertainment
was
instead.
That was a good entertainment.
I was going to segue into two things. We don't have that either?
Well, I had entertainment instead. I got nothing else.
You got
I'm
anything
spent.
Else, Dougie? You want to throw in there? Entertainment-wise?
No, that was. I thought that was good.
I felt that it was good too. Well, we can actually just wrap it all up. We don't unless you want to do a thoughtful.
Martin could do a thoughtful.
Martin's gonna bow out. because she's got payroll and sleep to do.
Yeah, and
I've instructed her to leave.
Yeah. I don't blame you. No, go sleep, please.
She's being sent home by Clayton.
Do the sleeping.
Everybody say goodbye, Marnie.
Good night.
Goodbye, Marnie.
Bye, Marnie.
Yeah, Marnie's goodbye, gonna, Marnie's everyone. Gonna bye, my Marnie. Get bye, your bicycle and go the fuck home. Go the fuck home, Ma. God.
Yeah, it is the greatest.
She just became English again.
It happens.
Goddamn pond.
It's all right. Do that.
All right. We'll
good night. Thank you.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
So I'm going to cheat because I've already answered the question. What is the ugliest you've ever cried in public and why?
Huh.
Wow. I don't know if I've cried. I don't think I've ever cried in public. It
any
would
kind
have,
of a meltdown?
Yeah,
kind
well,
of a,
I've never had a meltdown
in public. It doesn't have to be
movies.
It could be a meltdown of some sort.
I think mine would have been probably more like a movie or something like, versus a just, I'm having a meltdown because of my real life.
Sure.
Because, like...
no, they happen.
No,
listen,
no, I know.
I'm sorry your life is so traumatic.
Well, you know how, like, well, it's a whole thing. I learned this when I was doing counseling. Is like some people access, find emotional access through movies, TV, and yeah, exactly. And often that's not always the best sign, but meaning.
I've
like,
been accused of being a sociopath before.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, I wasn't going that far, but
okay, go ahead,
I'm kind of the same way, but like, whereas.
Traditional spelling sociopath.
That's,
yeah,
that's where people will go to, will look to. I don't think you're a sociopath at all.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, good, it's working.
Well, I don't know. But you know, the fact that I don't think that might be that she's because she's a really good sociopath.
Or you're on the same team.
Well, I've already told Al about that. I know what my personal personality disorder is. But
Harrison, oddly, I've never seen the movie Schindler's List.
Thank you, Harrison. I did cry in the movie theater for that. I absolutely did. I think the one that I'll just say it this way. It's a twist on. It wasn't quite public, but the one that thing that really fucked me up was when I watched Call Me by Your Name.
Okay.
I was upset for days about that. And I saw it on Christmas Eve last year. That might have had something to do with it. Got home. So I'm cheating. It wasn't a public cry, but right. I was really upset by that film. And Al the next day was posting on Facebook, like, it's the most beautiful film. And it reminded me of me. It was 1983. And I was like, because 83 was the key year in like all of our, for us, for our age. And
sure.
I was like, everything you're saying that's so wonderful about it is what totally fucked me up. And that really, I was like, that held on for a while. I was very rattled by that film. It like,
really affected me. Affected you.
But I'm too emotionally closed off to have a scene in public.
That's good art to like really affect you like that.
Yeah. But I don't really do public.
Yeah.
I just wait and hold it all in and then...
Theater and movies. That's the only time I cry.
Me too. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, movies for me, I mean, it's no secret. I credit Coco. I cry when I hear the songs from Coco. I start to emotionally cry, or I start to get emotional about it. I also get emotional at stupid things. I can't say
Hallmark,
that they're stupid.
The Hallmark card. TV.
Those videos on YouTube where somebody who's colorblind gets those glasses where they can see color.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Those are so cool.
I'm done. I immediately start crying. When you see
people
react to what they've never seen before, it's akin to, and I had... I've explained it on this show before. When I was with Andrew, the guy that I dated years and years ago, who was deaf when he heard for the first time, I take the videos of those people with glasses where they see color for the first time and realize that the world is not just a monotone color.
Right.
When he heard for the first time and I saw his face, like I just lost it crying because it's just an amazing moment. And I don't know that I would put this in the category of crying in public, but... In '08? Oh, I should remember this. I just should really remember this year. When George Michael was here, by the way, we're coming up on a year that he's been dead.
Wow.
We lost him on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Sitting in the concert, which I'd never seen it before ever, and there was a skybox, and I got my tickets courtesy of Fernelli, sitting on the front edge of the skybox, mm-hmm. open air, and I could, and the stage was way down there, and I could see George. I, for the first half of the concert, because there was a 20-minute intermission in the concert, for the first half of the concert, I just sat there and watched him and cried the entire time. Yeah. Just tears, just, and everybody was like, is he okay? And my mom was like, nope, just leave him alone. He's yeah, fine. He's fine. Mm-hmm. And I just literally watched him, and I was just amazed that I was in the same room with him. It was just one of those, and I just cried. Now, once they did the intermission, and of course, I don't know how many crowns I was in at that point, but once the intermission was over, woo, we were good. I regrouped. We came back with freedom or whatever. Yeah. We came back, and it was all, you know, we got through the rest of it. It was fine. But that was... That was one of the big times for me. But again, really, there'll be a goddamn commercial on TV.
Yeah.
I don't get sucked in with the pet commercials, though. Mm-mm.
Sarah McLachlan doesn't get me.
Mine are the human interest stories at the end of the news, like on NBC News. I'm like, right. the person who saved someone or
that
did something. I'm
always
like,
gets me.
I know, me too.
Always gets
but
me.
But there's some people made an argument that that's kind of that's the editors of those stories manipulating you, you know, like.
Well, that's fine, and
I still like it.
But though. it's still a factual story.
Absolutely.
I mean, they put the package together. Give me the soft music underneath,
I like
and
it.
I'm done. You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of that.
No, I like it though.
But I always wonder though when because like I said, those videos that'll make me cry. There'll be something silly, something small on there, or you know, I'm happy that somebody on Oprah or Ellen got something they always wanted, or little kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah.
What I really need to do is figure out something that's just going to break that dam, and I'm just going to cry for like 3 days.
But that's good, though.
And it needs to all come out at some point. That's my guess.
It's very healthy.
It's there. It's like it's right at the brink,
mm-hmm.
and it spills over every now and then.
Right.
I just open the floodgates at some point and let this all out. But I don't really know what the key to that.
What the catalyst is going to
be. Right. What is that catalyst?
Yeah,
you're right.
Right.
But because so many things, I just see like, oh my God, it's lovely.
Yeah. There's a little spill over the...
Then I wipe my eyes and I go and I do something in the yard. You know,
right.
like it's...
Right.
It's not like I'm devastated forever.
What I've read about that is that when they're saying we shouldn't only get it there, because that's where sometimes we're getting it, the emotional breakthroughs are through entertainment, things like what we were just talking about,
mm-hmm.
is that you need to be accessing that throughout your life, through your connection to friends and family.
I will tell you...
And that people wait for the commercial to cry, but they're not like... But they're emotionally distant from their... people in it. That's
my if mom is still listening, she may understand this. My cousin who lives back home in what was our family home back in Joplin, he and I have been going back and forth. They bought some property up north of our hometown. They're going to build first thing he's going to build is a shop before they build the house, so that the shop is already built so he can house all the stuff to build the house.
Right. That seems smart.
But because he's been asking me about cameras, because he will have internet where the new property is, he wants to be able to monitor it and so forth remotely. So we've been talking about cameras, yada yada. Well, this past weekend, he actually sent me a screenshot. It says, hey, I bought a camera system. Here's the shot out the back door of the house so I can see where I grew up. I see the field and the barn and I see all that stuff, right? So he sent us a link. I gave set up on mom's phone. She's got a link to it. She can, at any time, look in and see a live shot of the back yard of the house.
That's cool.
Well, I thought that was really cool. I'm like, oh, that's neat. Yada, yada. I had to shut off the alerts because they walk the dogs a lot. Motion alerts. But I happened to look in a couple of nights ago at night, and it's a live shot, and you can see off in the distance what I remember are, unlike here in Phoenix, where all of our TV towers are up on a mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back home, they're just wherever the hell they are.
Right.
So from the back porch of our house, you can see the lights of radio or TV towers blinking the all red lights.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird. The other night, I just looked in and saw that shot. And I hadn't seen that shot in a while of those lights blinking and reflections of car lights going reflecting off of a window in our barn. And I'm like, I was transported back 25, 30 years ago. And I'm like, I totally got emotional from a screenshot of that's home. That's back home. And I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I totally got emotional about it. Cut to today, my cousin sent me a picture of it's in his complete right to do, because he bought the house from the daughters. It's their house, and we knew this was coming. We knew all along the idea was they're going to build a new house up north. They're going to sell the family place,
right.
And we get that. The the highways widen. Nobody wants to live there, but it's the thought that that house is either not going to be in our family or it's going to be gone.
Right.
He sent us a picture of the for sale sign in the front yard, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, that was this morning I got that, and I was like, I don't know how to feel about this.
You weren't prepared
one.
For that.
No, I really wasn't. And I sent it to Mom, and Mom said the same thing. She was like, I don't know how to feel. Right. And my response was, I realize it's a new beginning, but I feel like something's died.
It's bittersweet. Sure.
It was.
It is something dying.
It's really weird.
Because it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A place that, again, I'm 49. I've known 49 years of my life, and my mom, I mean, they moved there in the early, mid-40s, I guess they moved there.
Wow.
So, again,
right,
her whole life.
Yeah.
It's an odd thing. So many memories. So many things happened in that house. So many great times, sad times.
Mm-hmm.
But to see that picture of that for sale, so I'm like, that house hasn't been on the market since the 40s.
Right.
It's just an odd thing.
My gosh.
It's an odd thing.
Yeah. So, and it's weird how something can break. I had a couple of years ago when I went to ASU the first time around, I was 18 or 19. So it was like that 83, 84 thing. Mm-hmm. And I lived in the dorm on Tempe, Maine, And now ASU's taken over the world. I have never been back. I've been back to the campus once 15 years ago. And something came up where I had to go to the main campus, and I hadn't been in forever. And I went, and ASU is so weird now there, because there's the Moore building is from 1962, and then next to it is the new architecture building that was built yesterday, and it's all modern. But so it was really weird. But I was walking, and I was walking where the thing was, the thing that I had to go stop in to see was in the old language and literature building that's still there. And I was walking, and I could feel the memories coming back from that. And that was that Call Me By Your Name time in my life, that, really emotional, both.
Does the building smell the same?
Everything was the same.
So you get that a complete association.
This is going to blow your mind. And I was walking toward it, and there was the same crack in the cement that was there in 1984.
Right.
Why wouldn't it be? It hadn't been mowed down. But it hit me with such an emotional force. I was like, how many times did I, I remember that. And I remember that building, and then all the flood of memories that came back from both good and bad, the whole spectrum. And I left there. And of course, then I had to go to this thing and be a normal person for an hour at this stupid thing that I was going to, and then go home. And when I was walking away, I started crying there. Oh, we got there. I cried in public.
Look at that.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I'm having
a breakthrough
right now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And I started
He found his bicycle.
I did.
Tune into my new series, Sociopath Therapist.
Sociopath Opus.
With Kat Carlson.
So I kind of started to, to cry when I was leaving. I got in the car and I was like, I just need to get out of here. It was too overwhelming, because there's just all those memories. And especially when it's from a time in your life when you were younger and you are more emotional. And it was a lot to take in.
Well, I would assume also, at least with me it is, not only with the family home, but other places that I go from that era, if we go back home. I don't really have them here, because obviously... Mm-hmm. I've been here more in my adulthood, but back home, if I go somewhere and you see it, or you realize something, or you just see a picture, whether you really realize it or not, in my head, I'm thinking, how much of my life has passed since then?
Yeah.
I have memories of something I was here and I was 18, I was 19, I was 20. That just seems like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, I'll be 50 next year.
Right.
Wow, where'd that time go?
Yeah.
A lot of water under the bridge, and then you're at a loss in a lot of cases, and this is where the youth is wasted on the young. You have no idea how good you've got it or what you're going through at the time.
I think that's why I was so sad when
you realize it later.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I even have that feeling sometimes just driving down the old Winks when I drive by where the building was, and I look over and I was like, God, I just remember meeting you and being there with you and all the people from that era. It's mm-hmm. we'll never get that back.
Oh God, no.
And
no.
So it's nostalgic but bittersweet at mm-hmm. the same time.
No, there's that.
Happy to have had the experience, but sad that it's gone.
Right. And fortunately for a lot of us, like you and I mean we're still that many years later, at least we're still hanging out and doing stuff.
Sure.
And so many other people are gone.
Yeah, that's the saddest part.
A lot of people are gone.
Yep.
Well, that was a good question. Now,
that
Anant,
was a very good question.
Thank you.
Okay, Anant said this was really a hard question, but post.
So Anant was talking about the Pulse nightclub
shooting. That was terrible.
And that was really. I don't know that I cried about that necessarily, but it was certainly...
I was up because I always have insomnia, and then I always text Al in the middle of the night because he's the only person I know that's up. And that was the minute that story broke, I texted him right away. I'm like, there's a gay club being shot up. And he was like, because he always responds like 1 second later, you know, and he was like, I'm going to go into the patient's room and turn on the TV. I'm like, well, you better brace yourself. And then like an hour later, he texted me. He was like, what the fuck is happening in the world? You know,
I was more affected by how people that I knew were reacting to that than how I reacted to that. You know, and working in gay bars, I was I should have been more affected by that. People would come in and like quiz me, be like, aren't you scared? Like, why are you open? Why are you still here? And I'm like, you know,
because if
invincible
you're not,
me,
if you're not still here, they win.
Right. Well, and and I know that every day my chance of that happening to me is exactly the same. Whether or not it just happened next door or across the country or around the world, like any day could be my day. My chance is exactly the same today as it was the day before the Pulse shooting.
You know, what's interesting about that is I always thought because of for my many years of when I worked at Charlie's, the DJ booth is sequestered up and away from everything else. And I you kind of had a bird's eye view of things of the entire bar. I could see, I mean, the bar has expanded. So at this point, I could probably see maybe 30% of the bar, which was all dance floor clear around to the front door when you enter. But I always thought, I always assumed, granted, it never had to be proven, which was good. I always thought, well, I was about the safest because I was kind of sequestered up there, kind of hidden, and I can bury myself in that DJ booth. You know, really quick.
And I always know I'll be the first one to get shot because somebody will come in acting out and I'll go towards them.
So I have something to say about that.
I will. It happens now. Like, people are causing trouble. I go fucking toward it.
So, you know about school shootings, right? So, my classrooms that I'm in this semester, we're in the Cronkite building at the downtown campus. But I, when you walk in, I'm the very first classroom. So, you literally walk in the door, and then room 121 is the first one. And my colleagues have, you know, they've got some dark, you know, dark parts. But well, I was talking about that room one day. One of my colleagues goes, will you realize? She's like, I always tell the students we're the first people that'll be killed in a shooting. I'm like, well, why the hell fuck would you tell anybody that?
Because that's a positive way to start your class.
But then, but now, of course, she got in my head and I thought about that. I'm like, we're the ones.
You're the first room.
We will be the one. We'll be the first one. Yeah. And now that's always in my mind when I go in that room. But
the night.
So, just
the,
like what you were saying, you know, like, you know, you're that. That could be right there.
I know that if anybody wanting to do harm came into a bar that I was working at, I would be the first one to go towards them.
I remember the night of the Pulse shooting, I was at Stacy's. And, of course, I have a million news alerts that come up on my phone. And I remember standing at the bar, and all of a sudden my phone started blowing up with news alerts. And it was about a bar, Orlando, shot up, whatever. I didn't put it all together at that point. I was like, oh, shit, there's some big mass shooting. I didn't get... I didn't know what Pulse was.
I
never heard of it. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I just kept, you know, seeing these alerts and, some bar getting shot. I didn't really get it. Cut to, I forget how many months later, and I'm Annette, I'm telling you, I'm saying this specifically for you. After that happened at the bar that I'm that I work with right now, Stacy's, we did a webcast out of their Joe DeGanzik was actually part of it, and ran I think Joe did audio, I believe, for the whole show. We had multiple cameras, multiple acts. We did a bunch of stuff to raise money for the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting. And with us were two survivors of that night. Nima, and I don't remember the other guy's name, but they were flown in here to specifically be with us during that moment. And it was one of those things where... Well, maybe we're getting to that. That would be maybe the ugliest cry that I did. I was asked to co-host this event. And the video that was put together by a bunch of celebrities, and it's probably still available on YouTube, it was a bunch of celebrities where they introduce all of the victims from the Orlando shooting. And we tossed to that and watched that video, and I want to say it was like 6 minutes.
I was there.
It was like maybe a 6 minute video. And I had to outro that and bring Nima up. Nima was one of the survivors. He was the DJ. And I remember just the camera came back on me and I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, how do you come out of that? And I was just standing on stage on camera crying with that at that point. And Nima came up and hugged me and I'm like, I don't know how you do that. How do you go on from that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would probably really be the biggest public, because not only was that in that bar, that was simulcast everywhere for that. Right. But yeah, it's a crazy thing. But I thought the same thing. We work in, well, you worked in a restaurant, but you're in clubs. You've been around clubs the whole life.
Sure.
Yeah.
And where do you go? Could have been any of us.
Well, Kat, I think you said it was us on the
oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. And I felt the same way. They were us in a different city. Like, they're just our Orlando counterparts.
That is exactly right.
It's the same archetypes. It's the same.
When I texted Al and I went to Facebook, it's funny that you said that, because I wanted to have an outlet, like, on Facebook. So I Facebooked right away, and I just said, mm-hmm. It's 2017, and they're killing us. Yep. So it really isn't us.
Yeah.
You know, that could happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Was it 17? Was it 16?
Or whatever year it was.
I think it was 16. 16. I think it's been 2 years.
But I thought, and that hit me too. I'm like, but it's 2016 and we're being murdered. Gay people are being killed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that's always.
June 12th, 2016.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that question was going to bring us here, but we got there.
Did. That was.
We
big.
Didn't even need a
the
bicycle.
Sociopath therapist, ladies and gentlemen, coming to a network
stop
near
saying
you.
Stop saying that.
Stand by. Coming to a network near you.
Check your local listings.
Oh, and Joe, who was the technical director of the event and ran the video system, he says he's got a clip, or he's got the video from that event.
Fantastic.
I've never seen it, but I'm sure that whole scene, like, how do you come back from that? I just don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Oh, guess what? We've only got a couple more shows before the end of the year.
That's right.
My goodness.
I think we have two more weeks, two more shows, and then it's the end of 2018, and we start a whole new year.
Wow.
Very busy.
Maybe we'll all get together and do that. Maybe next year.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Sure.
Sure.
That would be great.
I believe next week Al's back. I don't know about Marnie. We'll figure it out. Tune in. Find out. You never know. You never know.
Playing grab bag of cats right now.
Right.
But as we wrap up tonight's show, we're going to leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
David, what does burning smell like?